Right now, we have lots of failure stories. I tried the keto diet and it didn't improve my mental health symptoms. And more often than not, I'm like, how long did you try the diet? Oh, 10 days. What were your ketone levels? Oh, I didn't measure. What were you eating? Oh, you know, those keto chocolate bars from Costco. And we can get into whole foods or not whole foods and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, in my mind, that is not a failure of the ketogenic diet. That is a failure of education and information to that patient. Somebody needs to give them accurate information.
The Greek definition for metabolism is to transform. Your metabolism is designed to take food and to transform it into energy so you feel good and burn fat. We are determined to deliver the science and art of metabolism to you. We bring on the thought leaders in this space to have life-changing conversations so you could apply and upgrade your metabolism. The topics covered here include biohacking, ketosis, carnivore, fasting strategies, mindset, and metabolic health. Your body was built to be self-healing. Our goal is to identify the interference and remove it. You are a masterpiece because you are a piece of the master. Welcome to the Metabolic Freedom Podcast. My name is Ben Azadi. I'm the best-selling author of Keto Flex, and I want to thank you for spending part of your day with me. Hey, welcome back to the Metabolic Freedom Podcast. I'm your host, Ben Azadi. You can learn more about me over at benazadi.com. If you listened to the previous episode, two episodes ago, we announced the new name of the show, which is now called the Metabolic Freedom Podcast. It used to be called the Keto Camp Podcast. And today's episode is special with Dr. Chris Palmer. Two episodes ago, I revealed the full keynote lecture I delivered at the Biohacker Expo, all about the top five main causes of metabolic dysfunction and the solution. So if you didn't listen to that, go listen to it after today's episode. But one of the things I also did at this conference here in Miami just a few weeks ago was a live podcast interview on stage with Dr. Chris Palmer. Sandy Martin, the host of Biohacker Expo, check them out, by the way, biohackerexpo.com. Get your tickets for next year. Asked me to conduct this interview on stage with Dr. Chris Palmer, and it was professionally recorded. And today you get access to the full interview. I have had Dr. Chris Palmer on the show before, where we took a deep dive into his book, Brain Energy. Go get it. Amazing book. And now we go even deeper. You're going to love his heart, his knowledge, his experience, his passion. If you know somebody, or if this is you, who's dealing with a mental disorder, bipolar, dementia, depression, suicidal thoughts, there are some lifestyle changes that you can make, that we can make to really improve this. And he's going to make the case why it's a brain energy issue. It's a mitochondrial issue and how to restore that using keto. We'll discuss different ways to test for fat adaptation, keto adaptation. What about exogenous ketones? He'll share his backstory. He'll share some incredible stories. You're going to love the conversation with Dr. Chris Palmer. I'm very excited for you to listen to it today. We're also going to post the full video version of this, the full interview we did on stage. We're going to post that on our YouTube channel today, youtube.com/ketocamp. We'll drop a link for that down below. Very, very important episode. You're going to love it. And without further ado, let's bring on Dr. Chris Palmer.
You ready for this, Chris?
I am. Thank you.
What an honor. How many of you have read Brain Energy or heard about Brain Energy? Fantastic book, yeah.
Thank you.
Give it up for Brain Energy. Your work is a paradigm shift. It really is, to mental illness. And it's so needed in a world that is, mental illness is too common these days. And we did a great podcast last year on my Keto Camp podcast. And what we're going to do today is more of an interview style. And I have a lot of questions for Chris. But Chris, I want to start off with this. When was it that you had your own paradigm shift that you realized it's a lifestyle change for your patients that are going to make a difference? And how did that occur? And what were some of the aha light bulb moments for you early on in your career that made this transition for yourself? And now you're delivering it to the world.
You know, honestly, how many of you have seen like my Huberman Lab podcast? Or like, I don't want to repeat the stories if everybody's already heard them, but so most of you have not. So So I'm going to start from the start. I was born in Fort Wayne, Indiana. I'm not going to do that.
Right from the beginning.
I was, in fact, born in Fort Wayne, Indiana. But, you know, it really starts with my own personal story. I had mental illness when I was a kid. I had OCD. Through a series of really tragic events in my family, my mom had a psychotic break when I was 12 years old. So she was in her 40s, but she developed severe depression. It turned into depression with suicidality, and then that quickly turned into depression with psychotic features. And I went to live with her for a while. That was like devastating. We were homeless for a while. It was just a nightmarish shit show, basically. And then in high school, I went on to struggle with chronic depression. I still had my OCD, but I was suicidal. I was a mess. And then I pulled myself together in college. I was getting mental health treatment through all of this. And the mental health treatment, definitely the stuff I got in high school, was awful and just probably caused more harm than good. By the time I was in college, I went to a therapist that was actually really helpful. Pulled myself together, got really good grades in college somehow. Got into one of the top medical schools. Did really well there, got an award for being one of the top students in medical school. And I end up getting into my residency at Harvard. And at that point, I'm still struggling with very low-grade depression and OCD. It's not ruining my life by any stretch of the imagination. I'm, by all external accounts, I'm a high performer. I'm doing really well. I'm at the best residency program in the country. I'm winning awards for being the top student. And I develop metabolic syndrome. So I have, you know, high glucose. So I've got prediabetes. I've got horrible lipids. My LDL cholesterol is really high. My triglycerides are through the roof. My HDL cholesterol is really low. My blood pressure is steadily but surely just going up every year. And I'm doing everything right. I am following a super low-fat diet, and I am exercising regularly, and I am taking my Prozac, and I am doing everything that I'm supposed to be doing. And everything's getting worse. And the doctor keeps telling me year after year, diet and exercise, Chris. And I'm like, what diet, what exercise? I'm doing everything he's telling me, and everything's getting worse. And at some point, I had heard through the rumor mill that the Atkins diet could somehow help improve cholesterol and diabetes in particular. And I was actually highly skeptical of it. I was like, there's no way in hell that's true. I heard this about this Atkins diet. It's really dangerous. You eat eggs every day. That's crazy. That's going to give your make your cholesterol even worse. There's no way in hell. And I was like part of the medical establishment. Like I was just repeating what I'd been taught. Like that's really dangerous, bad. Don't do that diet. It's awful for you. And at one point, the doctor's like, you're going to have to go on meds. You have to go on meds for this, your blood pressure, your cholesterol, your diabetes, all of that stuff. Go on meds. And I'm like, you know what? I'm in my 20s, and I'm doing everything right. This is not fair, number one. This is not fair. And number two, I'm going to have a heart attack when I'm in my 40s. That's really not fair. And so I decided to give it one last-ditch effort. And I'm going to try this crazy Atkins diet for the sole purpose of seeing, will it improve my cholesterol and my blood pressure and my diabetes? Like these crazy quack people have been saying it might. And within 3 months, my entire metabolic syndrome was gone.
Wow.
Everything was gone. My blood pressure was dramatically better. My LDL cholesterol actually went way down. My triglycerides went down. My HDL cholesterol went up. Everything was better. But the thing that I noticed was that my mood was better. My energy was better. My concentration was better. My sleep was better. And at one point, I recognized I've never felt this good in my entire life. Like, what the hell is this? This is impossible. I am not built this way. I am like Chris Palmer, the loser. I'm not supposed to feel this way. And somehow I feel great. Within a few years, within like a year, I have friends and family who are looking at me and they notice, like, Chris, you seem like you're really good and you lost some weight pretty easily. And what's this thing you're doing? And I get them to do the Atkins diet. And sure enough, they start having improvement in their mood, energy, concentration. They're putting their metabolic syndrome in remission too. But I'm just whatever. We're just normal people. We're just normal people. But now I'm a psychiatrist and I'm working in a tertiary care hospital. I'm working in the top ranked psychiatric hospital in the nation. And we treat people who are really, really sick. We treat people who have been on meds for decades. They've tried 20, 30 different medications. They've been in years of psychotherapy. They've tried ECT. They've tried everything and nothing's working. So it took me probably 2 or 3 years before I had the courage to actually think about using this with a patient. But one of my patients, she had really tried everything. She was chronically depressed, had been given the diagnosis of a personality disorder, tried to kill herself numerous times, was in and out of hospitals, had been in decades of psychotherapy, and nothing was working for her. And I was like, hey, are you interested in maybe trying a diet? Just let's try an experiment and see if maybe changing up your diet could help. Like, I have no guarantees here, no guarantees at all. I'm not sharing my personal story because psychiatrists aren't supposed to do that. I'm not telling her about my friends and family. I'm just saying I have reason to believe that if you change your diet, it might help. And before I go on, I want to back up just a little bit. With this same patient, I had been trying for 2 years to get her to exercise for her mental health. I had been telling her month after month, exercise might really help you. Exercise is good for the brain. It's good for your mood. Maybe you could add a little exercise to all these pills and psychotherapy and everything else we're doing. And she was like, no way. At one point, she actually scolded me and she said, Dr. Palmer, enough, enough. I do not want you to mention exercise again. I believe that what you're saying might be true, but I am lazy. I am depressed and lazy, and I am not going to exercise, and I'm never going to exercise, so just stop talking about exercise. So that's this patient. For whatever reason, I sucker her into trying the Atkins diet. Now, it took her a month to get into ketosis. And for that month, it was a frustrating hell for both of us. Because she's like, I'm doing everything right, and it's not working. The keto sticks aren't positive. And I'm like, well, are you really doing everything right? What's going on? And like, let's figure this out. We finally figure it out. She finally gets into ketosis. And within 2 weeks, she actually starts getting hypomanic, which means she actually feels better than she's ever felt in her whole life. She comes into our appointment smiling, almost giggling. She is happier than she's been. She's going to start dating again all of a sudden out of the blue. This chronically depressed woman who has been holed up trying to kill herself, self-injuring for 5 years. She's going to start dating again. And I'm like, what the f***? Pardon my language. I'm like, what on earth just happened? What is this? This is impossible. I go on that way for about 15 years. So 15 years go by. I'm using this treatment with patients for mood disorders, for personality disorders, for anxiety, certainly for people who have diabetes and prediabetes, I'm using it. And a lot of those people are getting better. But I'm laying low because I don't want to lose my license and I don't want to lose my job at Harvard. And the keto diet, the Atkins diet, that's quackery. That's like, oh, you better not say that out loud. Not in any medical meeting. You better not say that. So I'm not going to say that. And I'm laying low, but offering it to patients, certainly not forcing it on patients. I'm still using medications. I'm still using psychotherapy. I'm still referring people for ECT at times. I'm doing all the standard traditional treatments. I'm also leading education for the nation's leading psychiatric hospital. So I'm educating other mental health professionals. I'm part of the establishment. And then secretly in my office, I'm kind of like offering this, you know, this other treatment.
A secret agent.
I'm covert. And it was 2016 that one of my patients with schizoaffective disorder, which for those of you who don't know, it's a cross between schizophrenia and bipolar disorder. This man had been my patient for 8 years. He had tried 17 different medications. None of them stopped his symptoms. He had hallucinations every day, delusions every day. He couldn't go out. Like, he could not go out in public without being terrified that they were after him, that they were going to harm him. If he went out in public and anybody laughed, if he was here, he would see a person way down there laughing and think, they're laughing at me. They're part of the conspiracy. He couldn't go to a movie theater. He couldn't ride on a bus because he was terrified. He was terrified of the world. He was essentially a hermit. He couldn't do a load of laundry on his own. He knew how to do it, but he just couldn't get himself organized enough to do a load of laundry. I remember we spent 2 months one time talking about how to do a load of laundry week after week, and he just couldn't do it. He's also morbidly obese. He weighs 340 pounds, in large part due to the medications I've been prescribing him for the last 8 years. And he gets it in his head that I'm never going to get a girlfriend if I don't lose some weight. And he says this to me, and I'm like, okay, so you want to lose some weight? He's like, yeah. I'm like, all right. He had already tried a couple of other diets. They didn't work. So I'm like, okay, let's try the Atkins diet. Let's try a ketogenic diet. Now, with this man, I've just shared with you my own personal history. I've shared with you I'm treating patients. I have no expectation that the ketogenic diet is going to do anything for this man's symptoms. This man has a psychotic disorder. He is hallucinating. He is delusional. He is disabled. He is the sickest of the sick that we treat. And I'm like, if you had asked me prior to starting the ketogenic diet with him, do you think this will do anything for his psychiatric symptoms? I would have said, no way in hell. And anybody who claimed that is a quack and a charlatan. There's no way in hell diet plays a role in something as horrible and debilitating as schizophrenia. So that's the backdrop. We start on the ketogenic diet. Within 2 weeks, he's losing weight, he's in ketosis, and I'm noticing dramatic improvement in his mood. He's smiling in a way that I've never seen him smile. He's making really good eye contact, and he's talking up a storm. He's talking more than he had ever talked in his life. Not in a pressured, inappropriate way, like a manic way, but he's just talking like a normal human being, and I'm like, You've been a zombie the whole 8 years I've known you. What's gotten into you? Why are you talking so much? And why are you smiling so much? This isn't you. But he's still psychotic. He's still hallucinating and still delusional. And I just think that's really fascinating that this antidepressant effect that I've seen in myself and other people is happening for him too. I'm shocked. But I'm not bowled over yet because I'm like, well, you know, it's just, you know, he's getting an antidepressant effect from losing some weight, whatever. Good for him. He's losing weight. 2 months later, it doesn't happen overnight. 2 months later, he's like, Dr. Palmer, you know those voices that I hear all the time? I'm like, yeah. Says, they're going away.
Wow.
I'm not really hearing them so much anymore. And when I do hear them, they're not very loud and they don't really bother me like they used to. Couple more weeks go by. And he says, Dr. Palmer, you know how I told you that there are all of these families who are controlling me and who are out to get me and I've been targeted? I'm like, yeah, we're going to talk about that. I'm thinking, we're going to talk about that again? Like, I've heard that a million times. Is that what we're going to talk about today? He's like, you know what? Now that I think about it, I don't think that's true anymore. And when I say it out loud, it sounds kind of crazy. Maybe I have had schizophrenia, like everybody has been trying to tell me all along. And I refuse to believe, and maybe my schizophrenia is getting better. That man has gone on to lose 160 pounds and has kept it off to this day, 7 years later. But he was able to do things that he had not been able to do since the time of his diagnosis. He was able to go out in public, not be afraid. He was able to complete a school program. He was able to perform improv in front of a live audience. He was able to do tremendous things that in front of my eyes, I couldn't believe as a psychiatrist because I'm like, this is impossible. This is impossible. This doesn't happen with the best treatments that we have to offer for schizophrenia. This doesn't happen. This can't be happening. Within a few months of noticing this psychotic disorder remission, I'm now using it with some of my other patients who have schizoaffective disorder. I'm like, hey, you want to try a diet? let's try a diet, everyone. So I'm putting them on the diet. And the next patient was a woman, same diagnosis. Her symptoms went pretty much into full remission. Both she and he broke the diet several times. And when they broke the diet, they had cheat days, of course. And when they had cheat days, their psychotic symptoms came back with a vengeance. And then I was like, get back on the diet. And then their symptoms got better. So I'm noticing now this on-off pattern. And at this point, I have now made the decision, I have an ethical and moral obligation to share this with the world. I cannot shut up about this. I can't keep this quiet like I've been doing for 15 plus years. And because schizophrenia is such a horrendous, devastating diagnosis, that I really felt like I can't shut up.
If you watch any of my videos on social media, you always see me with glasses on. And I always get the question, hey, why are you wearing those glasses? These are called blue light blocking glasses, and I wear them to protect my brain and my focus. You see, we are bombarded with stimulation, especially with junk light from your computer screen, your phone, fluorescent lights, and the brain has to filter that out. These glasses, what they do is they filter out those lights for you, so your brain does not have to do the work. I equate this to having a web browser open with 100 tabs. If you had 100 tabs open on your computer, that computer is going to run slow. But if you were able to eliminate 99 of those 100 tabs, and now you just have one tab open, that computer will function better. This is the same thing with your brain. So there's different types of blue light blocking glasses. There are computer glasses that you would wear during the day when working with screens and under artificial light. There are light sensitivity glasses that you would also wear during the day with screens and artificial light. And then you have the blue light blocking glasses, which I wear at night, 2 to 3 hours before I go to bed, which promotes hormone health, helps your body produce melatonin, and aids in better sleep.
My go-to is from Bon Charge. They have the science to back it up. They look super cool. The glasses come in non-prescription, prescription, and reading options. Glasses for every need. Bon Charge also has other amazing products such as low blue light bulbs, red light therapy devices, EMF/5G protection, and 100% blackout sleep mask that I take with me when I travel all the time. The greatest thing about them, all backed up by science. They gave Keto Camp podcast listeners a 15% off coupon code. All you need to do is head over to bondcharge.com/ketocamp and use the coupon code KETOCAMP at checkout, no space in between, to get 15% off your entire order. We'll drop that link down below along with the coupon code. Go check them out and let's get back to this episode.
I decided I'm going to publish a case report of these two patients, but I recognized I need evidence. I need science. I need a mechanism of action in order for a journal to take this seriously and even publish it. And that led me on this deep scientific dive to, for the first time at that point, like I knew the Atkins diet was good for weight loss and I knew it was good for diabetes. I had no idea it was a seizure treatment. I never learned that. Nobody ever talked about it. So I'm doing all this scientific research trying to figure out how can I help people think that this is credible? How can I get away with not being a total quack? And I figure out it's an epilepsy treatment. I'm like, whoa, that's huge. Like, we use epilepsy treatments in psychiatry all the time. That's huge. Why isn't anybody talking about this? And then I do all this neuroscience research and find all these mechanisms of action. And those same mechanisms of action are highly appropriate to people with schizophrenia and bipolar disorder. And I'm like, oh my God, this is real. Like, this is real. There's a scientific story here. So I published my first case report. I was ready for everybody to ignore it or laugh at it. I really thought nobody would even read it. Within a month, I'm invited to speak at this international symposium with researchers from Australia. I'm like, how the hell did researchers from Australia find out about me? And why are they contacting me? And fast forward, this field has exploded. There are now at least 15 controlled trials of the ketogenic diet underway for people with a wide range of mental disorders, all the way from chronic depression to schizophrenia to bipolar disorder to anorexia nervosa and other diagnoses. This field is rapidly expanding. Leading psychiatrists and neuroscientists in the world are aware of this work. And they are extraordinarily excited and passionate about it.
Yeah, what a story. I'm curious about those mechanisms of action as it pertains to keto, Atkins. There's so many benefits to keto. You lower your blood sugar levels, you lower inflammation, you upregulate glutathione. But would you say the mitochondria are the biggest factor here when it comes to keto and what you've seen with your patients? What's the relationship between, your book explains it, but what's the relationship between a keto diet, being in ketosis, and what happens with the mitochondria as it pertains to mental illness?
So I think, although there are probably like at least 30 or 40 mechanisms of action of the ketogenic diet known and how it might stop seizures, I want to be clear, all of those are still highly relevant to mental illness. And there's controversy in the field about, well, which mechanism is most important. Some researchers really like the gut microbiome explanation. But guess what? The gut microbiome is connected to brain metabolism, and brain metabolism influences insulin signaling and glucose regulation and neurotransmitters. So it's all interconnected. And at the end of the day, my central thesis in brain energy is that mitochondria can help us understand how and why the ketogenic diet could help people with serious crippling mental disorders heal and recover. And the ketogenic diet is primarily doing two things for mitochondria. One, it's stimulating a process similar to autophagy, but it's specific to mitochondria called mitophagy, where you're getting rid of old and defective mitochondria and replacing them with new ones. And it stimulates a second process called mitochondrial biogenesis, or the production of new mitochondria in cells. And I believe it is those two processes that actually are instrumental in helping people with mental illness recover.
Have you ever felt off during your keto journey or carnivore journey? Maybe you experienced a headache, some fatigue, pesky cravings. This can happen when your body loses vital minerals, especially when following a keto diet. Here's what happens. When you lower insulin on keto and carnivore and fasting, you shed excess body weight. This is fantastic because you look lighter and feel lighter. However, you lose essential minerals like potassium, sodium, and magnesium. That's where Beam Mineral steps in. It's a full-spectrum, concentrated electrolyte and mineral supplement that gives you all the essentials your body needs. Beam Mineral products are the perfect support for anyone doing keto, carnivore, and fasting. It does not break your fast. It does not contain any anti-nutrients, so it is carnivore-friendly. It tastes just like water. It helps to keep your carb cravings at bay and to keep you in this fat-adapted state we love called ketosis. I love this product. I drink it daily. I give it to my dog as well. So give Beam Minerals a try today for an enhanced keto, carnivore, and fasting experience. Head over to beamminerals.com and use the coupon code AZADI, which is my last name, A-Z-A-D-I, for a special discount. That is beamminerals.com, BEAMMINERALS.com, coupon code AZADI. We'll put that down below in the podcast notes. All right, let's get back to this interview.
With keto, I have some specific questions for you. Do you believe in any, like, some blood type? There's like blood type diets, etc. Is there any certain blood type that is not compatible with keto or an Atkins low carb diet?
To the best of my knowledge, no. So the real answer is, if you ask me, is there any biomarker that would tell us whether somebody is a candidate for the ketogenic diet or not? There are, when it comes to serious mental illness or even seizures, there are a couple of biomarkers. One biomarker is there's a rare genetic disorder called glucose transport 1 deficiency syndrome. So it relates to, it's very rare. Most people don't have it. But when people have it, it results in often uncontrollable seizures and then all sorts of other brain effects, cognitive impairment and all sorts of mental health symptoms and everything else. And now the number one treatment for life for those patients is the ketogenic diet. It is the first gold standard treatment, and it is a treatment for life, and it is the most effective treatment for those patients. Because those patients are not getting enough glucose into their brains, and therefore they must have ketones if they are going to have normal brain function. It's a very, very rare genetic disorder. So more than likely, you don't know anybody who's got that. The other biomarkers, there are some very rare genetic disorders that impair fat metabolism, and therefore those patients are not candidates for the ketogenic diet. They will get sick or die from a ketogenic diet because they cannot process fat in appropriate ways, usually because of an enzyme problem or something else. Those usually are not hidden, they're not secret. It's clear from birth that those people have problems. So the children are born with all sorts of health conditions. So if you know somebody who has been a medical disaster from birth, they should be getting screened before you go tell their parents, put them on a ketogenic diet. Those people should get screened for what on earth is going on with this child or this adult, because there's something really seriously wrong with this person. Other than that, we actually don't have biomarkers. The epilepsy field has been looking for decades, blood type, insulin signaling? Is it only pre-diabetics or diabetics who do well with a ketogenic diet? The answer unequivocally, no, no. Brain metabolism is very different than peripheral metabolism and insulin. You can have insulin resistance in your brain and have normal blood sugars in your periphery. So measuring insulin, measuring glucose, they don't necessarily give you a yes, no signal. And so unfortunately right now we don't have great biomarkers. I'm hoping that at some point we will, so that we can actually more accurately predict like who will do better with what treatment, including ketogenic therapies, but we don't have them right now.
What are your thoughts on what's coming out with these, there's continuous glucose monitors already, but there's continuous ketone monitors coming out there. What are your thoughts on that? And what is the therapeutic range of ketosis you're looking for them to achieve? Because there's different variations, right? 0.5 beta-hydroxybutyrate, you're in ketosis, but then there's a therapeutic approach. So what is the deep range you're looking at with those markers?
So that is actually one of the more important questions right now that the field does not have an answer to. And even in the epilepsy field, if you talk to leading academic epilepsy specialists around the world who use the ketogenic diet for the treatment of seizures, they will have fights with each other about whether ketone levels matter or not. So in the epilepsy world, there have been some studies that suggest higher ketones, somewhere between the range of 2 to 5, seem to be optimally therapeutic for the control of seizures.
And to be clear, you're referring to blood beta-hydroxybutyrate.
Blood
beta-hydroxybutyrate.
Yes. Yeah. Blood beta-hydroxybutyrate. The urine strips give you a yes-no signal, but that's about it. Because the urine strips are going to depend on how concentrated your urine is, and that depends on how much water you're drinking or how many other fluids you're drinking. So urine strips are great for telling you, are you in ketosis or not? But they are not good for giving you a good sense of whether what range of ketosis you're in. Breath meters, some of the companies claim that they are just as accurate and reliable. I have not found them to be the case. And so I actually strongly recommend blood monitoring for my patients. I have seen patients with depression and anxiety improve with very modest ketone levels, like 0.5. To date, I have never seen a patient with bipolar disorder or schizophrenia get better with that low of a ketone level. And what I have seen unequivocally is that when they get above 1 or 1.5 millimole of beta-hydroxybutyrate in their blood and they stay there for 2 months, that's where the magic starts to happen. So they have to achieve a high level and they have to stay there for a couple of months. It's not an overnight fix. And within a couple of months, you start to see this therapeutic effect and their psychotic symptoms start getting better or their mood symptoms start getting better. And then when they change their diet, somebody tells them, you need to eat more vegetables. You need to eat more protein. You need, so they change their diet. And they're doing great now because their symptoms are getting better. They're like, yeah, maybe I can change it up a little. So they change it up. Their ketone levels drop and their symptoms start coming back. And they're like, the hallucinations are coming back. The delusions are coming back. They're getting mood instability. Their depression's coming back. Brain fog is coming back. Something's coming back. So OCD is coming back. This goes for OCD. I have one person that I'm aware of has treated her crippling lifelong OCD with a lot of things that focus on mitochondrial therapies and metabolic therapies, but the ketogenic diet is instrumental. And when she eats too much fruit and her ketone levels come down, she starts having obsessions and compulsions again. And when she gets her ketone levels back up, they go away again. So we've got the best study that we've got in the mental health field to answer this question is one study that's not even fully published yet. It's in the final review process of 20 patients with bipolar disorder, in which the patients, they had brain scans, they had ketone levels every day, and it was only an 8-week trial. And what the researchers found is that the higher the level of ketosis, the greater the symptom improvement. There was a clear linear relationship. Higher ketones, greater improvement in symptoms. So although there is a lot of debate in the epilepsy field about whether ketones matter, and even in the weight loss field, I've heard a lot of people say ketosis is like pregnancy. It's either yes or no. And if you're in ketosis, that's all that matters. When you're treating serious brain disorders, I don't believe that is true. I think the level of ketosis does matter, but I welcome research. I want the least restrictive treatments for patients. I want the least restrictive diets. And if 0.5 is going to work for somebody, I'm all for it. I'm just all for helping human beings get better and improve their health. And I could care less what the actual ketone levels are. But we do have the signal that if somebody's only got ketones of 0.5 and they're not getting better, they may need to get the message very loud and clear. You're not giving this a fair chance yet. You've got to get your ketones above 1.5. And let's get them above 1.5 for 2 months before we give up. Before we call it quits and say this isn't going to work for you, let's do that. Right now, we have lots of failure stories. I tried the keto diet and it didn't improve my mental health symptoms. And more often than not, I'm like, how long did you try the diet? Oh, 10 days. What were your ketone levels? Oh, I didn't measure. What were you eating? Oh, you know, those keto chocolate bars from Costco. And we can get into whole foods or not whole foods and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, in my mind, that is not a failure of the ketogenic diet. That is a failure of education and information to that patient. I'm not blaming that patient. The patient gave it their all. They really thought they were doing it right. They weren't doing it right. Somebody needs to give them accurate information. Ketones, greater than 1.5, 2 months at least, whole food diet, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, there are many ways to do keto, to your point. I'm curious, for those who are here right now, how many of you have done keto before? Raise your hand if you've been in ketosis before. Keep your hands up. Out of all of you who have done it, do you feel, if you feel better in ketosis, could you keep your hand up? If you don't notice a difference, just put it down. All right, pretty much most of you kept it up.
Hey, let's take a break from the conversation and share something real quick. For those doing keto, it is very important to understand that just because a keto recipe says it's keto-friendly does not make it health-friendly. There are certain oils, there are certain vegetables, there are certain nuts and seeds and dairy that are actually all keto-friendly but highly, highly inflammatory. So I needed to solve this problem for myself and for you and the world, and we put together this Keto Recipe of the Week program. And you could rest assured that these recipes contain no seed oils, no high plant toxin foods, no dairy that's going to cause inflammation. They are protein focused, formulated to get you into ketosis, keep you into ketosis, help your body shift into fat burning mode, help your body produce ketones and use ketones. And above all of that, they're easy to make, they taste damn good, and we're giving this away at a very a highly discounted price with over $400 in free digital downloads. The Keto Recipe of the Week program has two options right now. $9.97 per month, cancel anytime, 30-day money-back guarantee, or an annual membership, discounted 20% additional. You get all that, plus the bonuses. Head over to ketocamprecipes.com to learn more. And look, 30 days money-back guarantee. If this isn't the greatest keto recipe program you've ever been a part of, we'll give you your money back. You can keep all the bonuses, and there's really nothing to lose except body fat and inflammation. So I hope you love the recipes. Head to the link in the podcast notes down below, ketocamprecipes.com. All right, let's get back to the conversation.
I'm curious why you say 2 months, right? There's fat adaptation where you're registering ketones 0.5 for a few days. Now you're burning fat instead of sugar. But then there's keto adaptation. I've been searching for studies, Chris, on how long it takes to get keto adapted. How do you test this? And I have not found anything. And for me and the students I work with, I tend to just ask them questions to determine if I feel like they're keto adapted. Like, for example, when I shift somebody into ketosis, those first few days or maybe weeks, they notice the difference. They feel better. They have more energy. But then about a month or two in, to your point, I'll ask them, how are you feeling now? And typically, if they've stuck with it, ketones are 1.5 or higher or around there continuously, they tell me, oh my gosh, Ben, like now I feel like my results are at a new level. I feel more mentally clear. And for me, that's kind of signaling this keto adaptation. So I'm curious how you're gauging that. And is the 2 month mark that safe market or to kind of say you're keto adapted now? And maybe you could explain the difference between fat adaptation and keto adaptation for those watching.
Yeah. And let me, before I forget, let me change my 2 months to 3 months. Because so when I embark with a patient on this, I usually tell them I want a three-month commitment from you up front. If you're not willing to do this for 3 months, then let's not even waste our time. I don't want to waste my time. I don't want to waste your time. Let's just not do it. So 3 month commitment. And that actually really helps a lot of patients because I'm also letting them know you don't have to do this for life and I'm not asking for forever. I'm just asking for 3 months. 3 months. Can you do something for 3 months? And invariably, they will kick and scream the whole way there and say, I can't do this. I'm not doing this. There's no way in hell I'm going to stay on this diet. But if they get to the 3 month mark and their symptoms are dramatically better, their cravings for all the junk food that they missed are gone by that point. And then they're like, oh my God, I can't go back. And I've had one or two patients yell at me, you tricked me. I'm stuck on this for life because there's no way in hell I can go back to that living hell. And now I'm stuck on this diet and I don't necessarily like it. I don't get to go out with friends or go out to eat like I used to. I don't get bread. I don't get all the things I love, but there's no way I can change because I feel so much better. My life is completely different. So keto adaptation for patients with serious mental health concerns, it can be dangerous. And so if you know somebody, I just want to put out this disclaimer. If you know somebody with a serious, life-threatening mental health condition, depression with suicidality, bipolar disorder, schizophrenia, suicidal, self-injury, aggressive, assaultive behaviors ever, please encourage them to do this with a medical professional under medical supervision because keto adaptation can make things worse before they get better. I need to make that clear. The model that we have in the mental health field, the model that the neuroscientists and that I and others, the model that I am proposing in brain energy is that brain metabolism is significantly impaired in people with serious mental health conditions. Part of that means that their brains are unable to use glucose effectively. And so if you want to think about it, it's actually much more complicated than insulin resistance. But if you want to think about it in that kind of simplistic way, insulin resistance in the brain. The brain is not getting enough fuel from glucose. And that can be for lots of reasons, but it's not getting enough fuel from glucose. And that means the brain is vulnerable. It is highly vulnerable. During the keto adaptation phase, what you're doing is you're pulling the rug out from under the whole glucose system. Glucose levels are plummeting. Insulin levels are plummeting. The cells are not yet ready. They are not yet retooled to use fat as the primary fuel source. They are still hardwired for glucose as the primary fuel source. And it takes a few weeks for them to undergo all of these genetic changes. They have to upregulate enzymes and molecules and receptors to be fat adapted and not glucose adapted. And so when you're pulling the rug out from under these already vulnerable people, their brains can actually malfunction even worse during keto adaptation. What that means practically is that the things that I notice clinically, they may get really bad insomnia. They will say, I'm wired from this diet. This diet is wiring me. I have too much energy and now I can't sleep. If they go for 2 days without sleep, it becomes a psychiatric crisis. They can be hallucinating. They can become suicidal. They can become more depressed. They can become manic. So you can create a crisis because of the keto adaptation. Now, as a healthcare professional, I know how to manage that. And I'm going to use sleep. I'm going to use sleep hygiene. I'm going to use medications if needed. There are lots of ways to get patients through that safely. I don't back out when that happens. I actually warn the patient. I warn the family. I am ready as the clinician. And we are waiting for that to happen. And when it happens, we manage it. And we manage it safely. And we get them through it. But when they come out the other side, which is usually a few weeks or maybe even a month or so. Because again, like that one index patient, one of the index patients I had, it took her a month to get into ketosis. And she was really trying. So she was already really low carb, but not in ketosis. And we had to keep playing and working to figure out what can get your body to go into ketosis. So for her, the whole keto adaptation phase was probably 2 months. And again, she was a person who got hypomanic, and I needed to manage that. It was great to see, and as a clinician, it was wonderful because she had been depressed and suicidal for 5 years. So to see her happy and smiling and dating, and like, it was like, wow, this is great. But now we're getting a little bit of a problem on the other side. Now you're a little too happy, and I don't want you making impulsive, reckless decisions. So that good enough answer?
No, it's a great answer. Okay. It's a really important note. I have one more keto question, and then I have a final question, and then we'll wrap this up. What about exogenous ketones? You know, we have Lat Mansour from HVMN, and there's a lot of research on exogenous ketones. I'm just curious if you've used that as maybe a buffer until they get keto adapted, or what's the research showing on exogenous ketones?
So with exogenous ketones, first and foremost, I want to say the ketogenic diet and exogenous ketones are not the same intervention. Hands down, zero doubt. I've got a rep from the company nodding his head. They are not the same intervention. So please don't think that you can just tell somebody drink a bottle of ketones 2 times a day or yeah, 3 times a day. And if that doesn't work after 2 or 3 months, then the keto won't work for them. That's not the way it goes. That's not the intervention.
Very important point.
Because if you're eating donuts at the same time that you're drinking ketones, you're not addressing the insulin problem. You're not addressing the inflammation problem. You're not addressing the mitochondrial problems necessarily. We don't know. We really don't know. Are we addressing the mitochondrial problem or not? So exogenous ketones are being studied a lot right now in mental health, and I have used them. So the reason that I just said what I said is because I've tried it. I've tried it with patients and it doesn't work. And lots of patients have been like, let me just drink ketones instead of doing that really crazy diet. And I'm like, and it doesn't work. It doesn't work for them. And to date, we don't even have one case report in the medical literature of anybody controlling their human seizures with exogenous ketones. Not even one case report published. So if exogenous ketones alone were enough to control seizures, we would have a case report. Trust me, tens of thousands of parents would love to not have to put their kids on a ketogenic diet and fight with schools and fight with parents having birthday parties and all of that stuff that goes into it. But exogenous ketones, when somebody is trying to do a ketogenic diet and maybe not getting the ketone levels we want, exogenous ketones can play a role. If somebody is doing performance athletics and other things and needs a boost before, there's clear unequivocal role for that. So if they're going to the gym, I have one patient who's on a ketogenic diet for his schizoaffective disorder. When he goes to the gym, he drinks ketones in order to help his performance, and unequivocally it helps. And exogenous ketones are in fact being studied for a wide range of conditions. For Alzheimer's disease, they're being studied for cancer, they're being studied for alcohol use disorder, alcoholism, University of Pennsylvania, under the direction of Nora Volkow. She is the National Institute of Drug Abuse director. She is a world-renowned neuroscientist. So she is overseeing research trials of the ketogenic diet for alcoholism and other substance use disorders. So before we finish, If any of you want to go home and try to persuade anybody, a healthcare provider, a family member, a friend about this, don't say, I went to the biohacker conference and listened to this guy talk about ketones for mental illness. Instead, what I want you to say is Dr. Nora Volkov, the director of the National Institute of Drug Abuse, is studying the ketogenic diet for serious brain conditions like alcoholism, and other researchers around the world are studying it for schizophrenia, bipolar disorder. I am not saying this to brag. I am saying this because we have an uphill battle that we are fighting to try to get people to take this seriously. I have the privilege of working at the top-ranked psychiatric hospital in the nation. We are doing a trial of the ketogenic diet for bipolar disorder and schizoaffective disorder right now. So if anybody says, that sounds like quackery, that sounds crazy, you just tell them, McLean Hospital, the number one ranked psychiatric hospital in the nation, the leading psychiatric hospital of Harvard Medical School, is doing clinical work and research on it. Is that really quackery, doctor? Is that really quackery, husband, cousin, whoever that you're trying to persuade? Just throw science in their face.
Yeah, there you go. And get the book, Brain Energy. We're running out of time here, but I want to just share a couple of resources. I interviewed Chris Palmer on my Keto Camp podcast last year, so that's a good resource to listen to, maybe share. His book is Brain Energy. Where's the best place to get that?
So actually, I think there are...
A book signing, right?
There's a book signing right after this for a half an hour. You can get it on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever. You can go to brainenergy.com. We've got a free newsletter. We've got assessment tools that you can use. And before we finish, I don't know if you can plug it, but I'm going to be doing a workshop at 3 o'clock today, 2.5 hours. Everybody's invited. If you want to assess your own mental and metabolic health and come up with your own plan, if you're totally healthy, if you're the perfect person, please don't come. We don't want you there. But for everybody else, who maybe thinks, well, maybe I'm not so perfect and maybe I do have some work I could do, come to the workshop. It's going to start in the education lecture room, and then we're all going to go upstairs somewhere more quiet where we can actually have a more intimate conversation and work with each other on improving our mental and metabolic health.
That is an amazing opportunity. I mean, to spend 2.5 hours with Chris and take a deep dive. You know, he wouldn't share this, but he has a waiting list of thousands of people trying to work with this guy. So to be able to have the opportunity to learn from him, I would take advantage of that. And you're going to do a book signing now right before that, correct?
Yeah.
So everybody give Chris Palmer a big round of applause for his expertise. Thank you, Chris. Awesome.
Thank you.
And go get a free book.
And one for Ben, too. Thank you for the interview.
Thank you, guys.
I hope you really loved that conversation with Dr. Chris Palmer. If you did, go listen to the other episode we did with him, the other interview we did with him about a year ago on the show, which was episode 620, by the way. And his website is chrispalmermd.com. Go get his book, Brain Energy. We'll link that down below. Go check out the Biohacker Expo over at biohackerexpo.com. Watch the video interview I did with Chris Palmer on stage, posted on our YouTube channel today, youtube.com/ketocam. Please share this with somebody you know. Also, consider leaving the show a rating and a review. Let's continue spreading the message and achieving this metabolic freedom, which you were born to do. I love you. I appreciate you. I have vitamin G for you. I'll see you on the next episode. This podcast is for information purposes only. Statements and views expressed on this podcast are not medical advice. This podcast, including Benazade, disclaims responsibility from any possible adverse effects from the use of information contained herein. Opinions of guests are their own, and this podcast does not accept responsibility of statements made by guests. This podcast does not make any representations or warranties about guest qualifications or credibility. Individuals on this podcast may have a direct or non-direct interest in products or services referred to herein. If you think you have a medical problem,
consult a licensed physician.